Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Rebecca Reber with us. Rebecca, for over 2 decades, has led a teen parent program in Southern California called the Freshman Preventative Program, which ensured that the entire freshman class receive education in healthy relationships, sex education, and online safety. Rebecca is a mom to a young adult son and a teenage daughter. Welcome, Rebecca. It's great to have you.
Thanks for being here, Rebecca.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're
And
excited to talk about this topic. It's a good topic.
oh, so important. Such an important topic.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wanted to start with why it's so important. Why can parents not just rely on school to provide sex education for their kids?
Because schools, it's not a, in America, it is not a blanket curriculum. Each state, and maybe even each district or school district gets to decide what they want to teach or not teach. And so our children are not getting the same education. The other problem is that we now have cell phones and tablets, and children in elementary school have the ability to look up anything their little hearts desire if there's no parental controls. And so there's just this very important piece that's missing that I found in working with teen parents all these years, that the education isn't happening. I know in our school district right now in California, they get 1 week of reproductive health in the 11th or 12th grade, in their health class, and that's it. And it's the basics. It's whatever the health teacher chooses to pull out for that week. But it's really the sex ed conversation is not just one piece. It's got all these multifaceted pieces, STIs, birth control, healthy relationships, dating violence, pornography. I it could go on and on. There's so many pieces that cannot be covered in 1 week if your district and your state chooses to even teach it. So there is a big portion of our country that only believes in abstinence-only education. And so those kids are just being told, don't do it. They don't know what the it is or what the ramifications of having sex are or what the emotional ramification or the physical ram. I mean, it's so much. It's such a big piece of our children's development. And that's why it's important. And parents really, we talk about them being the first teacher in reading. We talk about parents being the first teacher in early math. We talk about it in all these areas, in social interaction, social emotional. And then we leave out this whole big piece because it's scary and hard to talk about. And it's like putting a child in a car and giving them the keys and saying, go. It's a weird analogy, but to me, we would never do that.
Yeah.
So it's big, it's important. And parents really, really need to take the lead to be empowered that they can do it. It takes some bravery because it's uncomfortable. But I have some tips to work around that uncomfortableness. So.
Okay, well,
Okay.
great. Maybe we should start there because I can imagine there'd be people in the audience listening to this and their blood pressure might be increasing and oh my gosh, I'm supposed to teach this. I'm already busy. And I wasn't taught this myself. I'm actually not speaking for myself because I grew up in a family that taught sex education, so I feel like I have some knowledge, but even then I had to educate myself a little bit with our own kids. And there's so much emotional, I don't know, stuff that comes up for us as parents to even consider what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. So let's talk about that first. Like, how do I get comfortable having these conversations in the first place?
that getting comfortable piece is probably the most important, as just yourself. No kid in the picture, you and your partner, your spouse, educating yourself. What is the sex talk, or what is the pornography talk, or what is the sex trafficking talk? Kind of delving into what those are, finding out why it's important to have it. Like for me, I know as a parent, having the conversation is important because I want them to have the medically accurate information. I want them to have the values and cultures and ideas and our wishes for their future. And we all those conversations are a part of it. So having discussions with your partner, your husband, wife, what is important to us to teach, and then figuring out the right timing for your child. Each child's different developmentally, emotionally. You have to figure out when the right time is. So there's a lot of pre-planning. And I have found in that pre-planning, there's a comfort level. It's like we talked about math earlier, going into a math test that you haven't prepared for at all. The anxiety is going to be through the roof. But if you've kind of laid the groundwork, it's still going to be uncomfortable. I'm not even going to lie. It's still, I've been doing it for 25 years, so it's not as uncomfortable for me, but most parents don't have that. But when it was my own children, it was uncomfortable. It was hard. I just kept the why, the why, the why, the why, like in the front of my brain. And I read this great quote, and it was in an article, and it said, sex ed is about safety and empowerment. And when I think about it as being a safety net for our children and an empowerment net, it got a little easier. Instead of, there's so much times that we think about it as embarrassing or shameful or all these other, if we make it a normal part, it's a little more comfortable. And I would also say, little pieces. Don't sit down and have the whole master's thesis all at once. You know, start, this might shock some people, but start at four or five, talking about this is your body, and you get to decide when you're hugged. You get to decide when you're touched. You need to ask your friends, starting the consent conversation, which is sex ed, talking about the correct names of body parts at five, six. The research actually shows that kids that know the correct body part names are less likely to be abused sexually, because there's a bunch of reasons. One, the person that might try to harm them knows that somebody at home is teaching them and watching over them and has an open dialogue with them. So, start in little pieces, and as your child grows, you build upon the conversation. A lot of people think sex ed is like a one-time gig. We see sitcoms, and they go up in the bedroom, and the dad sits down and goes, "Son, we're going to talk about the birds and the bees." And it really is a growth thing that you do through your children's lives, in my opinion, and the research really supports that. If you have any interest, I won't go too deep into it, but the Netherlands and Sweden actually have, we have the five areas of development for children here in the States. They have a sixth one, and it is sexual development. And that doesn't mean that in kindergarten they're teaching about sex. It means consent, body parts. And each year, the children move up and they learn, and the parents are taken on that educational journey as well. So I'm going to admit that I have forgotten where we started with your question there, Cecilia.
Big shoes, What you were asking was like, what are the tips and how do
How
we
do we
get
get
started?
comfortable?
How do, like, as a parent, how do we get comfortable with having this conversation?
And
Because it seems so big and daunting, and we're not
yeah.
going to have one big conversation, like you
So
said.
what I've heard is small conversations over
Yes.
the lifetime of the child that
Yes.
we can learn along with them if we don't
Yes.
know. I also want to say that even though my parents did a pretty good job, I still freaked out when our oldest was like sitting on the toilet, legs open, and was like, "Mom, what is this part?" And I was like, "Bum, that's called your bum." I was like,
I
"Oh no, I knew I needed to
know,
like
I know,
provide
and
information." And so we can make mistakes. We can go back and be like, "Okay, that part is actually called this." A vulva,
yes,
a penis, whatever. Yeah, I
and
could.
our kids appreciate when we make a mistake, and every parent's going to make a mistake. I've made plenty. When you go back and say, just as you just said, I biffed that. Let's revisit this. Let's talk about this. And you just fix it together. And it here's what it's doing. As you do these little conversations along the way, yes, you're teaching sex ed. Yes, you're teaching safety, but you are building a relationship with your child that they know in their heart that they can come to you with questions or concerns. They can come to you and say, "Mom, my friend is having this situation," and they're not afraid to come and talk to you. There's a lot of times kids feel shameful to come talk to their parents because they get the, "We're not talking about this. We're not, you're not doing it. We're not talking about that." So there's a deeper thing of building. They can come talk to you about any, if they can talk to you about sex ed, they can pretty much talk to you about anything. I
Yeah,
mean, if we're being
for sure.
honest. And so there's a relationship building that happens, and it will continue through their life on this topic. I mean, they're going to get married potentially and have babies, and you just continue to share and talk and learn, and it doesn't have to be a horrible thing. Uncomfortable, yes, but as you, and I probably already said that, it gets easier with each little conversation. And having your child know that you may not know it all, but that you're going to go find out and bring it back to them when they're ready, that's an important piece. We don't have to have all the answers, parents. We just have to be willing to talk about it and answer questions and not be judgmental and listen. All of those things. And it takes practice. Maybe you need a girlfriend to bounce, "Hey, I'm gonna have this talk. Can we talk about it?" Or maybe your spouse, or maybe your partner, or you may need to do some practicing, and that's okay too. In your car while you're driving.
And so, Rebecca, you we talked a little bit about starting early, talking about body parts, but I also know that parents have some concerns about like bringing things up before kids know about it. And if I bring it up, then they want to go and explore it. And so maybe I shouldn't be bringing up like I'll just talk about pornography. I don't want to bring up pornography until it's a problem. Now, is should I wait until it's a problem, or should
Wait
I
until they
wait till it
ask.
comes up, or do I approach it preemptively so that they are aware of it, or like, because I have this concern that like if I bring it up to them early, then they're going to want to go and explore that. And so
Yeah,
can you
so
say more about that?
I always go back to each child is different. You as a parent know your child. We know if we give a phone, so they have access to everything. And so many times I'm walking down the hallway of a high school and they've got a phone out and there's a group of boys, and you're like, "I wonder, what are they looking at?" But so definitely with a phone, I think there needs to be a conversation about there is stuff on there. There's stuff on the phone that needs that isn't for our family or doesn't fit into our values. And as parents, we put the blocks on those. Sometimes kids will hear words at school and come home and say, "What is, I heard so and so say porn today." I think when a child brings it to you, you answer honestly, to their level of development. You don't need to go on a whole long thing. I think kids are great about you give an answer and they go, okay, and then they move on. So I think you have to balance your child with what you know they're hearing or seeing. If you know there's a situation that's come up, a teacher shares with you that a video went around, then I think it's important to talk about it. I don't necessarily think you should just jump in with the pornography conversation. Watch for cues, know your children, listen to what they're saying. Ask them about school. One of the building of parts of building the relationships is they'll bring stuff from school and be like, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but my friend, he had this picture in his backpack, and they'll start sharing with you because they're not afraid. And I think that's the time to jump in with the education that matches their age and their developmental level.
Okay,
Yeah.
that's great.
I wonder if we could, because we talked a little bit about preschoolers and what they need to know about consent and using the correct terms for their body. Could we go a little bit at kind of age and stage of what types of things do kids need to know? So beyond the preschool age, what are the things that are important for like a young elementary to older elementary
So
child?
breaking into grade school, middle
Yeah.
school, high school.
Yeah. I think consent is a continual into that age.
Yeah.
I think I'm still hearing the old saying of when he hits you, that means he likes you. So, when on the playground, they used to, he pushed you, that means he likes you. Talking about what is a healthy relationships. And it doesn't have to be on dating, it's friendships, it's all everything. What is a healthy relationships? That to me, that's the biggest one on my heart in the younger ages, because once they get into middle school, the hormones are starting to go, and we haven't laid the foundation of healthy relationships between two people. So consent, healthy relationships, and obviously, as you start to get a little bit more up in elementary school, we need to talk about puberty, menstruation, being ready for those things. So I think we also need to talk about earlier online safety. Kids are in these chat rooms on video games. There's simulated sex and sex acts that are happening. There's in those AI chat rooms or in those video games. There's also predators that have the ability to get to our children as young as they're on the video game. So if you've got a first grader who's playing these games that are linked to the internet, so this is where kind of more of the tough topics come in, that these strangers are not who they say they are, most likely. You should never be taking pictures of yourself. You should never be sending pictures. I could go on and on. Nobody should be sending you pictures on these video games. So there's some other pieces that aren't actually the act of sex, but that are part of the healthy sexual development. I think I read something that said, kids that are in video games and online and pornography, they said 13, but I'm going to guess the age is far younger, that they're seeing things online that, and they may not know what they're seeing, but it's in their brain, it's in their head. So the curriculum, consent for always, healthy relationships for always, online safety always. And I think with each grade level, you could up the vocabulary, you could up some of the concepts, but you're laying these foundations. So I can give you an example. We got to the freshman preventative in high school, and we bring in speakers, and the high schoolers are blown away by so much. They don't know consent age of sex. They don't know that there's scary people on the internet. They don't know, that drugs and alcohol negate consent within sex. So I think it's just this laying foundation so that they're just empowered and knowledgeable by the time their hormones kick in and they're dating. Because we kind of just let them cruise along and then they go out in the dating world and they're just navigating it blindly.
What kinds of things can parents do so that they foster a relationship with their kids around this topic so the kids feel comfortable coming to their parents, bringing up uncomfortable topics or things that they have questions about when it's important? It obviously, as the kids get older, it's more difficult for them oftentimes to come to their parents. But what kinds of things can parents do throughout the continuum of parenting so that even their teens could feel comfortable coming to them?
I think the whole thing of this should be starting young. Topic should be starting young. Kids know parents are giving them this knowledge of body parts and consent. They get this intrinsic feeling of this trust. But then I always like to talk about using organic moments that pop up. So TV, movies, music, use things that aren't necessarily about them because you get to put this kind of nice shield between. What do you can talk about lyrics and songs if that's appropriate for your child at the level they're at, or something they see on TV, a movie. And by having these conversations, your child's like, okay, mom's not embarrassed, mom's not shying back, mom's not saying, don't watch that, or shaming me. I think it just really builds. And yes, sometimes it's teenagers, you're going to have to say, hey, remember, you can always come talk to me. You can always come talk to me. And saying that through elementary school, middle school, just make it the mantra. You can always talk to me. You can always talk to me. And then when that talk happens, you have to make sure that your first reaction isn't to blow up. You have to keep your composure because they're going to bring things to you that are going to make you go, oh, where did you learn that word? Or where did you hear about that? Keeping your composure, not freaking out, being truthful. Kids like the truth. Of all the hundreds of teen parents that I've worked with, they have all said, I just wanted someone I could talk to about this stuff. I didn't have anybody. And so if we as parents know that that's kids want to talk about it just as they want to talk about all sorts of other stuff. And yeah, it's the uncomfortable topic. And yes, it gets harder as they're teenagers, but deep down, they want somebody that they can say, hey, this happened. I'm uncomfortable. Can we talk about it? A mom friend of mine said she has the best conversations in the car. Because neither of them have to look at each other, but they can talk about the uncomfortable stuff while they're driving. So, whatever works for you, but that mantra of bring it to me. You're not in trouble. You're not going to be judged. I'm not going to be angry. Bring it to me. Let's talk about it. I think that's super important because. Kids, as soon as the first time the parent blows their lid and says, I can't believe you just said that word, or I can't believe this, kids aren't going to come to you anymore.
Unless you're able to go back around and say, oh, I'm
I
sorry.
messed up. I messed up. What I wish I would have said was this. And I can we do a redo of that conversation?
And I recommend car rides. Car rides. We've had some of the best conversations with the kids when we've been driving. That yeah, on this topic in particular. So
It's a great.
Yeah, you've given us so much good information, Rebecca. And I'm wondering also if you could give, because I just love examples, like almost little mini scripts or stories. Can you give us a couple of stories of what this looks like in practice, maybe at some different age groups, or maybe even just for the teens, because you have so much experience talking with teens about stuff. What does it sound like when you explain
Okay,
some of these
so
topics?
like a parent, when a parent's explaining this to one of
Yeah.
their kids or explaining it to their teen.
Gotcha. So a lot of our teen parents would have all these fanciful names for breasts and vaginas and parts. And I, as their teacher, I would step in and I would say, "Hey, can we talk about this?" Or we'd make it a lesson for, and we'd talk about why it's important. It's important to call them by their names because of you want them to be empowered in their bodies, not ashamed of their bodies. You want them to know the right names for safety. So that was one that I had a lot. I'm trying to think. A lot of our teens would not understand, how a baby is going to even come out of their body. And we would sit down just very medically and truthfully and talk about it and say, I like visuals. So I'd say this is a diagram, and this is, your uterus and your cervix and your vagina. And we would do these again in small sections. We do it small pieces, because to a teen who has no idea what's about to happen, it was traumatizing, to say the least. So, small conversations. Your baby's growing. We're going to talk about the growth of this baby. And when it's time, we would talk about labor and delivery. For parents, I think if you've done the groundwork leading up to puberty, and then the school, a lot of schools still do the fifth grade puberty talk. So I'm going to use that as my launching off. So school does the puberty talk. The kid comes home and you say, "You had a big day today. I'm sure it was a lot of information. I'm sure you had a lot of feelings. When you're ready, I'd like to hear about what you learned. I'd like to hear your thoughts." And they're probably going to go, "No way." But you find a way. And if they don't want to do it, that might be the time that you say, "Okay, here's what I'd like to add." And you start talking about, you learned about your period, and here's why you have a period. And you learned about how your body is going to change into puberty. And then maybe the next time you talk about how the penis and the vagina fit together, and you have eggs and you have sperm, and that's how babies are made. And it really is just very simple medical information. But we get all tied up in the ha.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't know if
great.
that answered your
Yeah,
question.
that's great. Thank
Yeah,
you.
that's good. This
but I
is.
would really start. I'm sorry, just to cap this off, one of the things that I found most helpful with my own children and with the teenagers that I work with is starting out with what they know or they feel or they need to know. Where are they? So, how are you feeling about that? Or what do you know about that? Or kind of give them the starting line. And then you, as a parent or teacher, come in with the next, it's like scaffolding anything else that they're learning. You come in with the next piece. And then maybe you check back in with them. We talked about an egg and a sperm. Did you have, how do you feel about that? Or is that weird? Or is that, and it doesn't have to be serious. Like, I don't do anything totally serious. Everything's a little wacky and silly. But it's a scaffolding process, and I always start with where the child is at, because that gives them a little bit of control and it lets me know how much they're ready for or what they need.
Yeah,
Great.
that's great. This is such a helpful conversation for parents, and it's obviously a conversation that parents find uncomfortable and have a lot of questions about. So it's been really great talking to you about this. Do you have any final words or anything you want to leave the audience with here at the end?
I just want parents to hold on to the thought that kids want a safe person. They want that for whether it's what they're online, what they're hearing in the hallways, what they're experiencing. They want a safe person. And so empowering parents to push, be brave, dig deep, be brave, and start when they're little and be that person for them, because it will pay off. The research, the statistics, all of that, teen pregnancies down, sexual assault, rape, everything goes down when kids are educated and they have a safe person. And so parents, that's you, and just be that for kids. Be that for kids.
That's such a good reminder. How could people find out more about what you have available online? Because I know you have some great resources.
Yes. So my webpage, which I think you guys are going to post, once you log on to my webpage, there's going to be a pop-up, and there is a free gift of how to start the sex talk prompts. So it has different ways. It's a whole list. And what works for one parent won't work for another, but some of them are fun, some of them are serious, some of them are, but they're great prompts. So that is another great way to start once you've done your pre-work, parents. You're getting ready in your heart to do this.
Awesome. Yes, we'll include the link to that in the
Perfect.
speaker notes. And it's so nice to have a starting spot, having some prompts, because the
Yes.
hardest thing is trying to figure out what to say and how to start it all off. So we'll include that. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Thank you
Thank
for
you. It
supporting parents
was
on this
awesome.
important topic. And look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.